needy department stores.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. There's a hint of desperation in the air this morning at malls and stores around the country. Not from shoppers. They're as cool as can be. Retailers need a big day. So they're doing sweepstakes and giveaways and discounts. And so far, the crowds have shown up. How much they'll buy is another question altogether. Danielle Carson visited a Macy's in Bethesda, Maryland this morning.
At 4:45 a.m., dozens of serious bargain hunters awaited Macy's opening. Temperatures hovered in the 30s. People huddled in their cars with the motors running and the heat on. One man wearing gloves rolled down the window of his SUV. He plans to buy clothes. How much does he plan to spend?
Less.
How much?
40% less.
Inside this Macy's, it's a sea of sale signs. This shopper was thrilled.
We're not buying unless it's on sale, right? I do see some sales. There's 75% off, there's 50% off. And then I stopped this morning and got newspapers so that we could get an extra $10 off.
She wants to pay for everything in cash this year, no credit cards, because she doesn't want to go into debt. The National Retail Federation says holiday shoppers spent on average $350 last year. But shoppers at this store are on a tight budget this year. One man lamented that he's not getting a pay raise, so that flat panel TV he wanted is, alas, off his shopping list. In Washington, I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
The Dow started the week barely above 8,000. Now it's inching closer to 9,000, just a half day of trading today. So far, the Dow is up 14 points to 8,740. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 are down a few points. In Asia today, the markets closed with gains of about 2%. Even India's stock market had a small gain. European shares are down a fraction so far. In poorer countries, people aren't standing in line at Best Buy or Macy's. They might be standing in line for food. This weekend, the United Nations holds a forum on international financing for poorer countries. Stacey Vanek Smith has more.
Last year, investors poured more than $640 billion into developing countries. But purse strings are a lot tighter this year. Johanna Mendelson-Forman is with the Center for Strategic and International Studies. She says that money is the lifeblood for many developing nations.
Our biggest form of foreign aid is foreign direct investment. It accounts for the bulk of development around the world.
The troubles on Wall Street might seem pretty unrelated to the prosperity of workers in Africa, but Forman says developing nations are already feeling the effects of the credit crunch as demand for raw materials dries up.
If countries don't have money, then people don't have income, and no income means people can't buy food. So it's not only the credit markets, but it just has this downward spiral for the rest of the world.
Forman says a World Bank report that looked at the economic downturn in 2001 found at least 10 million people remained impoverished because of the drop in international investment. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
People in the financial industry who are out of work might want to think about Shanghai. Chinese officials plan to come to the U.S. next month to do some headhunting. They'll be in Chicago and New York looking for potential fund managers, analysts, and other finance pros. Financial companies in Shanghai have about 170 job vacancies specifically for foreigners at the moment. This is the Morning Report for Friday, November 28th on Marketplace.org. An interesting prediction on oil prices this morning. An analyst from Matrix Asset Management said oil will go up in the next couple of months to almost $80 a barrel. But then it'll come crashing down, and hard. He says oil might hit $20 a barrel, briefly, on impulse selling. I could fill up my car for 10 bucks. Nice. But then there's OPEC. It's holding an emergency meeting in Cairo tomorrow. A lot of OPEC members want to stop producing so much oil so that the plummeting oil scenario I just talked about doesn't happen. Stephen Beard reports from London.
The falling price of crude has decimated OPEC's income. Iran and Venezuela seem to be suffering the worst. They want the cartel to announce a cut in output of 1 million barrels a day. They hope that declaration will prop up the price. But it may not, says Nick McGregor of brokers Redmayne Bentley.
They all say we'll cut production by X amount, but there's no guarantee they'll actually do it. There is a lot of cheating goes on, and the temptation to pump a few extra barrels and make a few extra bucks is always there.
Even OPEC doesn't entirely trust its members. The cartel's most reliable output data is said to come from a network of spies watching the movement of oil tankers through binoculars. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The economy is putting a serious strain on food banks around the country. Many of them say donations are down at a time when demand is up. Joel Rose has that story.
A staffer hoists boxes full of cereal and canned goods onto the scale at Philabundance, a food bank in North Philadelphia. On the other side of the scale, Florence Murray waits in line. She's picking up supplies for her church. Each week, it offers free meals and food baskets to the needy. Murray says more people than ever are showing up.
Some of them are out of jobs, and some are, like, maybe homeless, and they just said it's harder for them to survive now.
Philabundance Vice President Martha Buccino says hunger is on the rise across the region, even as donations to the food bank are falling.
We're down approximately 32% from where we were last year. We're about 40% down from 2 years ago. That's something that is very sobering.
Buccino says retailers and wholesalers who might have donated food in the past are finding ways to sell it on the secondary market. Fortunately, she says monetary donations from the public are holding steady for now. In Philadelphia, I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
The hurricane season officially ends Sunday. Six storms hit the U.S. mainland. Ike did about $8 billion of damage in Texas, and that drunken Hurricane Faye hit Florida four separate times. That storm provided a test case for a web-based network dubbed Hurricane Facebook. Dan Gretsch has more from Miami.
BizRecovery.org bills itself as a clearinghouse of information that businesses need to reopen quickly after a storm. The site aims to answer questions like, were branch offices damaged? Are nearby roads and banks reopened? Are suppliers back up and running? The site also has a social networking feature that allows managers and employees to stay in touch during a storm. And like Facebook, it's free. Yi Deng is Dean of Computer Science at Florida International University in Miami. He helped develop the Business Continuity Information Network, better known as Beacon.
After a major disaster like a hurricane, everybody is in the dark. Through this network, businesses are provided with accurate, reliable, and real-time information. And with that, they can make a sound business decision.
You'd think a site like this would already exist. But it turns out collecting this kind of information in a single place is a mammoth undertaking. It took 3 years and $500,000 to develop. This past hurricane season, 100 businesses in South Florida volunteered to pilot Beacon. Among them was IBM. Juan Caraballo with IBM says Beacon sends a clear signal to businesses.
You're not on your own. It allows us to find each other, and by doing that, help each other. Think neighbor to neighbor. But in this case, it's business to business.
And businesses are eager to join, including Kaplan Higher Ed, the billion-dollar virtual education arm of the test prep company. Kaplan's Samuel Hoffner says Beacon finally brings disaster recovery into the internet age.
There's nothing that I know about like this.
Beacon is expected to be rolled out across Florida in time for the next hurricane season. Developers say if even just a fraction of those businesses use the network to speed up their disaster recovery, hundreds of millions of dollars could be saved. In Miami, I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Since this is Black Friday, we thought we'd check in with the CEO of the biggest department store chain.
The boss will see you now.
This conversation from the corner office didn't take place in an office, but at Macy's flagship store in New York. CEO Terry Lundgren spoke with Marketplace's Kai Rizdahl.
How are you going to know if Black Friday is a success for you?
Well, I'll know by noon. we track the, I mean, any day, you know, with technology is such that I can track sales of any individual store, the total, on an hourly basis or a minute-to-minute basis if I choose.
And do you do that?
I do it on a day after Thanksgiving, yeah, for sure. I do it on all of the big days leading up to the Christmas period. And so it's at my desktop. It's very easy to me to access.
How does that make your store managers feel when they know that the big boss is sitting there watching their sales literally in real time, right?
Hopefully they're motivated. I do make quite a few phone calls on the day after Thanksgiving when I'm here in the office.
What do you say?
You know, mostly encouragement, because at this point in time, we've done the work. You know, we've made the buys. We've set the store.
You have been in retail basically your whole career, 30-something years.
That's correct.
What have you learned in those three decades that's going to help you in what is arguably the toughest recession we've seen in 30 years?
I think you're right. I think this is as tough as I've ever seen in the 30 years. We've been through some tough times, but you know what the experience of going through challenging times does to you is it, particularly for a company like ours, is I can say with confidence to my organization, my 183,000 employees, we will get through this. It's just a matter of how we do it, and we're going to have to all make some sacrifices between now and then.
When you say sacrifices, do you mean cost-cutting and layoffs? I mean people losing their jobs?
I hope not, but in our case, you know, in the retail business, we actually add a lot of jobs this time of year. And so we will just not be adding as many jobs as we have in the past because the business doesn't warrant it.
Terry Lundgren, Chairman and CEO of Macy's. Mr. Lundgren, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Scott.
To hear more of that conversation, check out our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.